Just a great song service this morning, wasn't it? Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. Got a pretty good house full come out. But don't worry about it. We got place for some more. If you see the need to invite somebody, it'd be okay. I'm just excited to be here this morning and rejoice in the Lord that we have a place we can come and worship and praise Him. That we can bring our concerns and our thoughts and our needs into the house of God and pray. And know we can get answers from it. And I tell you, the excitement level here for me this morning is just tremendous. I'm just glad to be here. I hope everybody feels just the same way. I'm glad to be here. I've been a little bit, I guess, disillusioned or a little bit discouraged toward the end of the week. For the last 6 months, I thought that I'd made some new relationships and maybe some new friends. I'd had some politicians calling me every other day, at least once a week, but they just quit. I ain't had a call. The last 2 or 3 days, praise the Lord, amen. Y'all didn't get any of them calls? I thought I'd made some new friends. Surely, you know, they'd call me every other day, at least once a week. But I reckon, you know, election's over, and we see the trend, and we see the direction we're going. And so now our part in that is that we maintain, and we continue to move forward for the cause of Christ. Amen. God's still on the throne. He hadn't give up. He hadn't quit. And neither should we. We ought to be, more dedicated to it now than we ever have before, been before. So let's look at some scripture this morning from the Word of God. Prayed about this. And I want you to understand that regardless of how the nation is headed, regardless of the world around us, God's got a calling and God's got a plan for the church. And we need to be fully in that plan, and we need to fully understand what our part's going to be in the world. Now, a lot of times people talk about the decline of the church, and so be it and so forth, but my God tells me that we've got great power. Amen. And we're going to talk about the power of the church, but we're going to talk about many things today, but I want to mainly talk about Jesus and His place in the church. You know, sometimes we get misled, misdirected, but we need to fully understand about Jesus and His place in the church. So if you'll turn with me, Colossians chapter 1, I want to read some scripture to you that's just uplifting and very powerful Word of God that goes out to us that we know who we are. Amen. I want everybody to know what their identity is, that they're a child of God and how they ought to identify themselves. And I want us to have an identity as this church, as a place of prayer and a place of salvation for a lost and dying world. I want to identify with that in this world, in this community around us, that this church that's pressed. I preached last Sunday, if you don't remember it, I preached about being an extraordinary church instead of just ordinary. I think that's what we ought to strive for, that we're above, that we're set apart, because we're following God's direction and leadership for the church. Jesus and His place in the church. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Before we read any more, this prayer going out for us even in this day and this time, that we be filled with the knowledge of His will and the wisdom and spiritual understanding. That's where you find power in the church, when you get in the will of God. Amen. That's when you have good life, when you get in the will of God, when you know about His power and His authority, His leadership. And so this prayer is still going out today, that you may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. You know, there's times that I worry about my position as pastor, that I'm not bringing an increase to the church in knowledge of the power and love of God. That we need to preach that word, that there should be an increase. We don't need to be where we were yesterday or last week or last year, but we need to be ever increasing in the knowledge and the power of God. It said, "Strengthen with all might according to His glorious power, and all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who had delivered us from the power of darkness and had translated us unto the kingdom of His dear Son." I love this description of the church. I love this description he's given us in his word about the children of God. It goes, Father, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And it begins talking about Jesus. It talks about the Son of God, the Savior of the whole world, the sacrifice made for the sin of everybody. His blood covering it. It said, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. So note that he is what? The image of the invisible God. So we need to mark who Jesus is in the church. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And so we begin getting a better description of this Son of God, this Jesus, and what he ought to be in our church today. In verse 17, and he is before all things, and by him things all things consist. In verse 18, very important. And he is the head of the body, the church. Y'all see that? He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. Jesus has got to be in control of our church in this day and time for the power of God that we want to see. For us to see souls saved and lives delivered from hell, we need to have Jesus preeminent in all things. He needs to be the head of the church in all issues and all things, that we look to him for the decisions made right here in this body of Christ. We need to know who Jesus is in the church. He's got to be the leader. He's got to be the head that makes the decisions that moves us to move forward for his cause. In verse 24 it said, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. And so we begin to understand that he is the head of the body. We are the body. He's the head. My head makes most decisions where I go and what I do. Amen. And we get thinking about Jesus and his importance in the church today. We're going to have to get Jesus in control. He's got to be the head. He's got to make the decision. He's got to be preeminent in all things. More than ever before, we need to cling to the Word of God and pattern our church after what he's told us to be. God set a pattern for the church. All through creation of the ages, he set a pattern for the church, what we are to be and what we're not to be. And so we need to follow these instructions. I want to see a powerful church making a difference, seeing souls saved. Let's turn over just a minute to St. Mark chapter 11. St. Mark chapter 11. Jesus and who he is in the church. Jesus and who he is in your life. We make up the body, so he has to have leadership in the life too. St. Mark chapter 11 and verse 12. St. Mark chapter 11 and verse 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of the figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eateth the fruit of this tree hereafter forever. And his disciples heard. And so Jesus, coming to the fig tree, had a desire for fruit. Now I want to talk about fruit a little bit. Let's talk about the fruit of the church. Amen. There's a lot of times that we get many things in mind and we're traveling and helping and doing in many directions. But the main fruit of this church should be to see souls saved and nothing less. That ought to be our major factor in church, that we're about seeing souls saved from the pits of hell. That's where we're at today. I mean, we get functioning in this and functioning in that, and we kind of lose the focus. Jesus went expecting fruit. Now, I'm going to tell you, when Jesus comes into your church as the head of it, the head of the body, he expects fruit. And I get worried about our fruit in the church today in this time that we get satisfied. We don't have fruit. Fruit's about souls being saved, salvation to the lost. That's where we need to focus that. Now notice this in verse 15. And Jesus, and when they come to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers, and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And so he's setting a precedent. He goes into the temple and he brings change. Amen. Now I want you to notice this. Jesus comes down to the temple, and the first thing he does is causes a change in it. When the head of the body comes present, there are going to be changes made at different times. He's going to correct the problems that they had. God gives us a plan. God gives us a precedent for His church today. He calls on us to be unspotted and unblemished by the things of the world. Now let's just get plain about it. Jesus came down the temple. He began to cast out everything that was no good and began to tell them what was expected of the church. And so we have the plan of God showing us that, first of all, He expects fruit. We need to be on fire for the Lord out telling somebody about Jesus Christ or trying to persuade them to come down to the house of God, and I'll tell them. We'll preach Jesus Christ crucified. We'll preach Jesus Christ alive and forevermore at the right hand of the Father. We'll preach Jesus Christ sacrificed for their sins that they might hear and understand that the Holy Spirit just encourage them that they receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We talk about fruit. Now, to have fruit, we've got to be in this plan and this will of God for the church. I don't believe a church out of God's will is going to see a progress. I don't believe your life out of the will of God is going to show progress. It's about the works of God in His church. He expects fruit. In verse 17, and he taught, saying unto them, is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but you made it a den of thieves. And so we begin to understand Jesus comes down the temple and he brings a change. He throws out the bad and he starts telling them about the good. He said, among all nations, my house is to be called a house of prayer. And so if we're anything less than a house of prayer, I don't know that Jesus is going to be too pleased with that. We got to be a place of prayer that we come down, that some of the issues and things that we do in the church is worthless. But when we come as a house of prayer, it'll be beneficial to all of us. And so we come down to this place in verse 18, and the scribes and the chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people were astonished at his doctrine. Praise God, I'd like to get somebody astonished at the doctrine of New Salem Baptist Church. That they just be astonished. In other words, it just overwhelms them. Say, them people believe Jesus. Them people believe the Word of God. Those people are adhering to God's Word regardless of what the world, regardless of the direction of the nation, they're holding firm and standing strong on the Word of God. The rock. And I'm talking about more than ever before, we need to be determined that that's where we're going to be. They were astonished. How many people you saw astonished lately by what the church believed? Very few, because a lot of them don't know it. Unless they just happen to come by here. Verse 19, and when he was come, And when evening was come, he went out of the city. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus, answering, said unto them, have faith in God. Four simple little words. Have faith in God. That's what he told the disciples. They noticed this fig tree had withered up and dried up overnight. It didn't take it a month or a week. Overnight, it had dried up and the leaves fell off, withered away. And when they recognized it and confronted him with it, he said, have faith in God. Now, here we go to the plan of God for the church. First of all, you need to have faith in God. I'd be just like Jesus. We need a church that's built back and standing on faith and believing the Word of God. This church that's got a faith that's strengthened by it. And we talk about faith I hear it a lot. I want you to pray, God, increase my faith. I want to have more faith. That should be a desire of everybody in this house today, that your faith be increased. You can have more faith tomorrow than you've got today. But it comes by an example of God. In Romans chapter 10, verse 17, it says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so I think you ought to pay very strict attention about getting down to the house of God that you might hear His word. You're not likely to hear God's word anywhere else except in the church this day and time, unless you happen to just run up on somebody that's filled with the Holy Ghost and wants to talk to you about it. But I'm talking about the importance of the church is that you make a precedent that I'm going to go down, I'm going to hear the word of God, I'm going to hear it taught. I'm going to hear it preached. I'm going to hear it talked about. And my faith's going to be increased. We need this church to be built, backed, and strengthened by faith. I'm looking for souls to be saved. Last night, I tried to spend time and remember the last time I came down here and prayed with somebody and they'd actually got saved. And to my shame, it's been so long, I don't remember. Or my memory's awful short. We're talking about fruit of the church. What are we about? Meeting here, having a good time, enjoying the singing? Are we ready to get a burden for the lost and dying of this world that we get down an altar and pray that God save their soul? We've got loved ones that lost, but we're not shedding tears. They're on their way to hell, but our hearts are not broke. Is that where we've come to? Is that where we're at? Is that what we're satisfied with? See, I came in with a decision last week that I don't want to be part of an ordinary church. I've had my days of that. Time's too short. We need to be extraordinary. We need to be on and above, that we've got a desire to see the lost of this world saved. Have faith in God. Verse 23, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and be not, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he shall he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. We not only need to pray it, we need to believe it. We need to expect it. I got up praying this morning. God, I'd like to see somebody saved this morning. I'd like to look on the face of somebody that's come from hell to the promise of heaven. Isn't that what we're about? Isn't that why we're here? To encourage, increase. It said, therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things, soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you shall receive them and you shall have them. And so we come to a point of believing what we pray, having faith in God for His deliverance. God can touch them by the Holy Spirit. You might think we're limited and we're not getting across to them. God can touch them by the Holy Spirit. I guarantee you. God's touching hearts right now. He's touching somebody's heart. You need to be saved today. And when God touches you, you just come on down. We'll continue this at some other time. In verse 25, and when you stand praying, forgive. Woo! Did God's word say that? I'm glad that's not my word. You'd all be mad at me, wouldn't you? If you want to be mad at God, just go ahead. See where that gets you. See what benefit comes of that when you get angry with God. It said it, and when you stand praying, forgive. If any have aught against you, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father forgive, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. So it's about forgiveness. And I begin thinking about these things. You know, are we a forgiving church? Are we a forgiving a Christian, a child of God? And God tells us very plainly And he's talking about church and power in the church, the ability to see souls saved. And it said very plainly, when you stand and pray, forgive. That comes with humility, don't it? I don't believe you'll have a forgiveness without humility. God ties it too close together, that we're going to have to get humble. You know what humbles me more than anything else? To think about what I am and what God is. Boy, that'll put you humble, won't it? To think about what I am and what God is to us. Humility, and then we begin to forgive. Let's look at one or two more scriptures. We're beginning to see an outline, though, aren't we? Are y'all beginning to see this outline that God sent in this church today? It's talking about obedience to God's plan and direction for the church. If we're out of that plan and out of that direction, don't expect success. Because it takes that plan and direction of God to keep us in the right place and serving Him. And then, number two, we want to talk about season just a little bit. If you read on down and read that about the season, when it came out and said, this fig tree's withered away. And earlier it said it was because it wasn't its season. Well, I want to inform everybody here, it's our season, amen? This is the age of grace, and this is the season for the church to be working in this day and time. It's not tomorrow, it's not next week. It's now that we're still under the amazing, glorious grace of God, and this is the season for us to bear fruit. Bearing fruit about the season. Then we need faith that's unshaken, undying, and ever-growing. Faith. Forgiveness tied with humility. I believe God's sending a plan for success that we see people walk the aisle under conviction. I'm talking about, no, they're lost and on their way to hell. Without Jesus Christ, there's no other hope for them. I believe we're on the way this morning of seeing the outline of God, that we see that power demonstrated in this church, that souls be saved. I want to see somebody convicted, don't y'all? I want to see somebody to know that, say, without Jesus, I've got no hope. And it keeps going. Matthew chapter 16. Power of the church. Knowing who Jesus is in the church. Very important to us. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And he's asking disciples. And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, and some say Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And that's the answer of the world. That's the answer that the world had to give to Jesus, who asked, who do they say that I am? And so we see the confusion of the world today. They don't truly know who Jesus is. I'm telling you, Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is Savior of the world. Jesus is a sacrifice made for all the sins of the whole world. And that's what we need to get them understanding and straight about who Jesus is. Now, when they answered, said, who do people say they are? And they had several answers. There's a lot of answers today. And I believe that's part of the problem we're facing and the confusion that we're fighting against is that people don't really know who Jesus is. That they've never had an experience with Him. They've never felt His touch when they were down. They've never experienced the strength that He can bring in troubled and trying times. We need to explain to the world who Jesus is. And so we're starting with the church. Verse 15, he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Praise God for a good answer. Praise the Lord for a good answer. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so he understood who Jesus was. That's where we need to be today in church. That's where we need our world today, that we understand who Jesus truly is. He's not just some prophet. He's not Elias. He's not John the Baptist. He's Jesus, the Son of God, Savior of the whole world. And so we need to preach long and strong that Jesus can help you. Through Him can be forgiveness. So we look at that and we talk about the power that it brings when we understand who Jesus is. Colossians 1 and 18, just like I said, He's the head of the body. Jesus is over this church. Jesus needs to make decisions for this church. Jesus needs to encourage this church in all things. You know where that's going to put us? You know where that's going to bring us as a church? That every time there's a decision to be made, we're going to meet and pray and say, Jesus, what do you say? Lord, what do you say? You're the one in charge. We're just the under shepherds. We're just the members of the body. Lord, you tell us what we need to do. I'd hate to try to make many decisions out of my head, wouldn't y'all? Be tough, wouldn't it? So we're looking at Jesus. In verse 17, and Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bojana, for flesh and blood had not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Now, it was revealed to me by the Holy Ghost. Amen. Who Jesus really was. By the Holy Ghost of God, it was revealed to me. And if you know who Jesus is, it was revealed to you by the Holy Ghost of God. Now, you might have some man stand up and tell you, but that man had to speak under the Spirit of the and leadership of the Father, or you're not going to understand it. You're going to be confused. You're going to say, well, he's some good person. He did a lot of good things. But when you start truly understanding he's the Son of God, that's revealed by the Father and whatever power it might be today, the Holy Spirit of God. And verse 18, and I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I don't care who got elected and who didn't. They ain't got no power over this church. I've just read to you the Word of God that said the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That as long as we know and understand who Jesus is and trust Him for leadership and guidance of this church, the gates of hell got no power over us. Let me stand up real tall and raise both hands and tell you, the power of hell got no power. The gates of hell got no power over us in the church. Now that's where it's at. We've got the power. It goes farther in verse 19, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And so we've got the power. God didn't give this to the government. God didn't give this to the elect. God gave this to the church. And we need this understanding that when we understand truly who Jesus is in our church, who Jesus is in our personal life, I believe we can begin to reap the fruit that God has placed before us in this whole country around us, the lost and dying on their way to hell. That we need to bear fruit. I'm anxious to see somebody saved. I've got a yearning and a desire to see somebody saved. And it continues on. God's given us a power. God's given us a power. 1 Samuel chapter 3. First Samuel chapter 3 and verse 1. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. Now you think about that. The word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. God wasn't talking to them. God wasn't showing them. Because they'd got to a point that they'd refused to accept it, so God had let up on them a little bit. And when I thought about that day, and I compare it to this day, you know, the word of the Lord is precious this day and time. I mean, it's got to be a precious commodity in our lives and a determining factor on how we live and what we do. Amen? And so they'd come down to a point. Now, you're going to find it in this day and time. In verse 2, and it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see, and ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. And so we see a place where the word of God is not coming. We see a place where the lamp of God's went out, a place of darkness. If there's one thing we need to do, is keep the word flowing and the lights on. Amen. The word flowing and the lights on, that this church not be a place of darkness, whether it's physical or spiritual. We need the lights on. We need the lights burning. We need to be showing people, not darkness, but light. Now, they'd come to a bad place. No word of God. Lamp went out in the temple, a place of darkness. I don't want us to become that, do you? So we got to, more than ever before, become determined that we're going to follow God's will for our lives and God's will for this church. You know, when you go out and invite somebody to church, 50% of the time they're going to tell you that they're too busy, to me. And about 25% of the time they're going to have some other excuse. And then about 25% of the time they're going to say, well, I live better than them people down at the church. Y'all not ever heard that? Lord, they hit me with that all the time. And they'll drag somebody up and call them a name, trying to justify themselves. Well, from this day forward, I want us to start changing that image of the church. Whatever it takes in your life not to get talked about, do it. That if I go out in this community and invite somebody to this church, they're not going to call your name and say, oh, so-and-so over here. And we're going to do that by faith and prayer and dedication to the Lord and being in His will. He asked for a church to be presented spotless and unblameable. Did He not? And that's where we need to focus. Now, you don't worry about the one sitting beside you. You worry about yourself. Praise God, you get yourself right. That's everybody between them and God. And you might be thinking, he's talking bad about me. Usually, Brother Luther, if you throw a rock in the back of dogs, the one it hits will holler, won't it? You ever notice that? And I'm not on anybody's case. I'm about me and getting me to a position in a place where I can say, okay, you know, make corrections in my life, make corrections in my actions, in my speech, in my deeds, that I might not be the one. See, I don't know that y'all hadn't been out and invited somebody and they say, well, you're a pastor down there. I'm going to tell you about your pastor down there. He's rude and arrogant and sometimes not real friendly. So where are we at? How much do you want to see souls saved? That's the question. What's it worth to you to know that you may have had a part in somebody not burning for an eternity in hell? What's it worth to you? That's where what we need to decide. Praise God, we got a good number here this morning. I've always told you I wasn't much about numbers, but lately it began to affect me. The number I want to see is souls saved. Praise God, when we can mark them on the calendar and say, this person received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and they're not going to hell. That's what I want to see, is having a record of. Amen. more than ever before in the history of the church, is now the time we need to become determined that we're going to hold to God's plan and God's direction for this church. I'll be surprised if we get through a year that they don't want us to come in agreement with a same-sex marriage or something else on that order. We're going to be tested. We're going to be tried. When you're ready, it's okay. Tested when you're ready, when you're prepared, when you're following God's will, He'll take care of us. Y'all stand your feet. Let's have a verse for song. We talked about salvation by the grace of God. That's the only way you get it. There's no other way. No other name given whereby we must be saved. It's Jesus. And now we know what He is in the church. I'd like you to know what He is in your life. Is it your time to be saved? Has God knocked on your heart this morning through the Holy Spirit and said, you're on your way to hell? You can change that this morning by accepting Jesus Christ. If you're not saved by the grace of God, my prayer is for you this morning. My desire is that you would be the one that would come down and say, I want to be saved this morning. Amen. It's an unpopular thing. It won't make you popular. Won't make you rich. Won't make you famous. But it can make you satisfied and joyful. Amen. 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 Verse for song. Somebody need to come this morning. I'd like to pray with somebody this morning. You know, that's always been an amazing thing to me. I can remember this back from when I was lost. You know, they'd give an altar call, and I can remember an altar call, you know, when I was under conviction, God had spoke to me that I need to be saved. And I used to think, well, if I don't look the preacher now, I'll get through it. You know, if I just keep my head down, not look around, not look the preacher now, I get through this thing. Did anybody else ever have those thoughts? I guess I was the worst person's ever been, right? Amen. But, you know, God's looking directly at you. He sees you. He's looking in your eyes at all time. Now, if you can't look me in the eye without feeling a guilt and a burden, you might ought to come up here and look Jesus in the face. You might ought to look Him in the face and say, Jesus, I need You in my life. Amen. One more verse. You need to come? Amen. I believe I'll be sufficient. We'll get everybody on their way. We've got several things going on. A birthday party over at the Methodist Church and a veteran celebration down in Trenton. And I hope everybody has a good afternoon. If you get an opportunity to speak to somebody, invite them over to church. Amen. Maybe tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm more determined than ever to keep this church where God intends it to be. And I hope there's a lot of you got the same intentions. Amen. Any word or anything before we dismiss? Anybody? Been a good day in the Lord. Jake, how much did I run over? He's being nicer than he used to be. He used to say 32 minutes and 15 seconds. You know, he had a stopwatch. Amen. Amen. Y'all wasn't in a hurry, was you? All right. Good. Brother Frank, would you dismiss us in prayer, please?